in the cause of our destruction.
Nirandasya Jnananjana Shilakaya Rakshidunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha
Yena Chaitanya Mano Visham Napitam Yena Bhuvare Sayam Guru Acharamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Gurum Sintapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishyavamscha
Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagaradhyatambitam Kamsajivam
Sahagaretam Swagadutam Parijanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam
Shri Vaha Krishna Padam Sahagaradhita Shri Vishapanditam
He Krishna Karuna Sindho Jeeva Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Raha Kanta Namostute ಸಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೇ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಪಾಲೋಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವರನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮಾ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ವಾಂಚಾಕರ್ಷಕೇಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣೇ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸವಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ.
ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ if Prabhu can come a little bit forward, I think Mataji should have a bit more space. They're a bit squeezed at the back. Now we're very close. Suddenly I'm feeling I should move back a bit. This verse, Prabhu said, Mataji, is about the importance and the existence of one very important concept in devotional service. And that is the concept of parampara. Parampara simply means disciplined succession. You will never ever hear these two words, disciplined succession, anywhere else in the world except in Islam. You try speaking about disciplined succession to the man on the street, even an English professor, and he will do a double take with you. Why? Because this is uniquely Srila Prabhupada's mercy to us. The word disciplined succession actually is so unique, you know, that it actually refers to a very, very important, a very unique concept in devotional service. Devotional service is so wonderful that Krishna has given us a system where we can receive transcendental knowledge coming from Krishna directly, without any change, without any alteration, without addition, subtraction, division or multiplication, as it is. So this verse actually is so important because here Sukadeva Goswami is telling us that Brahmaji, after being inquired by Narada about this entire subject matter of material creation and the transcendental science of the relationship with the Supreme, he then apprised him. If you look up the word apprised, which is also not common, you find the word apprised means inform, to teach, right? And it is not only inform or teach, but it is to be informed and taught very exactly. That is the word a price. So Brahmaji, after inquiry from Narada, exactly informed him on the principle of devotional service and all transcendental knowledge found in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the essence of the verse. This information of how this transcendental knowledge is, what is the content of transcendental knowledge, what is devotional service, how the details of material creation was done, was given exactly by Brahma to Narada, because Brahmaji received this directly from Krishna. Otherwise, Brahmaji did not assume any authority to speak on this subject matter unless and until it had come from the Supreme Lord Himself. This is a mood we must remember. Sometimes in the mood of preaching, it is very easy for us to forget that this knowledge is actually coming from Krishna. Sometimes in the enthusiasm of preaching, we may incorrectly believe that this knowledge is being spread by us, or it is being explained very lucidly by us. Actually, there is a fallacy. And when that happens, we are in difficulty. So this point we should remember. In fact, the point to be understood in this verse is that the Lord is the source of this parampara. I think this point we should never take for granted, that the source of parampara is coming from Krishna. That is why in Krishna consciousness, what we call Krishna consciousness is actually a movement that flows from up to down and not from down to up. Because mercy is coming from Supreme Lord Krishna. It is never going against the law. Even in Krishna's material creation, you know, to go up is considered against the law of gravity. And only the airplanes, actually, which are material creations, in a sign that we want to be better than Krishna, we counteract the movement of gravity. But even in devotional service, you find that the ordinary movement of material gravity is exactly replicated, or actually the source of it is coming from spiritual world, and that is coming mercy from up to down. So the source of parampara is Krishna. And I think in 4th chapter, particularly in Bhagavad Gita, in the first 3 verses, Krishna makes it very clear that he is the one who first in the beginning instructed Vivaswan, and then after that there was Manu, and then there was Ikshvaku. So this transcendental science of the relationship with the Supreme, Prabhupada translates devotional service there, was actually imparted in this way by the Lord. But Krishna tells Arjuna, somehow or another it became lost. And when it became lost, now Krishna again has decided that he wants to start this transcendental science of knowledge again, and he wants to reveal it now to Arjuna. And he gives us the very important point in that verse. I think it is 4.3 of that verse. He tells us the qualification to receive this science of relationship with the Supreme is told by Krishna to Arjuna, because Krishna says, you are my devotee and you are my friend, and that is why I am going to tell you about Bhakti Yoga. So the qualification we must understand and be very clear about in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, to receive this transcendental knowledge, Prabhu and Matajis, we must first of all try to become devotees of Krishna. That is very important. We may not become devotees actually, but as long as we are trying to be devotees, Krishna becomes pleased. And he sends the necessary acharyas in line to teach us this transcendental knowledge. So never we should forget where we have come from. Brahmaji became qualified. He is known as Veda Garbha in this verse, because the moment he was born from the lotus flower which was emanating from the navel, transcendental lotus navel of Krishna, as Garbho Gatashaya Vishnu, the moment he was born, immediately Brahmaji did not speculate. Immediately Brahmaji did not engage in Manogatan. He did not start thinking, you know, now what should I do, how should I do it, you know, oh, let's do it this way, let's do it that way. No. Immediately when he came out, Bhagavatam tells us, immediately he fixed his mind, which was at that moment not seeing anything except himself, the lotus flower and darkness all around him. He fixed his mind immediately on that person whom he knew had created him. And that is why he is rightfully called one who is unborn. Because his link to Krishna is so powerful. Because the moment he was born, he meditated on the Lord. Not for one day, not for 1 year, but for 1,000 years. And in that mode of worshipping and rendering devotional service, all all transcendental knowledge which was necessary for the creation of this material universe was given to Brahmaji directly from Krishna. Directly from Krishna. Why? It was on the platform, Prabhu's, Mataji's, of devotional service. And that devotional service was on the foundations of penance. It was on the foundation of tapas. It was on the foundation of nice sadhana. That is how that devotional service sprouted. And that is why Brahmaji is exalted as an expert creator. And when you read that chapter of 2.9 and 3.9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that very nicely, Brahmaji himself prayed very nicely the prayers for creative energy. He prayed before he started creating. Never once did he think, I am created, therefore I must create. He did not think that way. We also must take a leaf from the book of Brahmaji, because if we want to be in parampara, then at every junction of our life, we should carefully remember that we should glorify Krishna and pray to him sincerely with all our hearts before embarking on any endeavor in devotional service or be it as it may in any activities pertinent to material work. Because that material work for us is non-different from transcendental activity. So the moment we start with Krishna, then that day becomes perfect. Have you all felt how it is that when you start the day with nice Mangala Aarti, when you start the day with nice chanting and nice reading from Bhagavatam, then that day becomes very peaceful and we are free from anxiety. Why? Because that is the way to be in parampara. Brahmaji started his life with sadhana and nice remembrance of the Lord. And it is stated very nicely in the pages of Bhagavatam. I think it is in 8.10.55 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There it is nicely stated that remembrance of the Lord Hari. Remembrance, Hari Smritya. If you remember Lord Hari, then whatever difficulties and whatever calamities there may be there, we become liberated from. We become liberated from. So Brahmaji was in bewilderment at the start when he was born. Why was there bewilderment? Because he did not know, as all of us, we did not know where we have come from or what we had to do. So he is teaching us practically that we are all in the same boat. But the difference between Brahma and us is immediately, without wasting the time, he started meditating on the Lord. And because he meditated on the Lord reciprocated by suggesting to him in his heart to please perform nice sadhana and austerity. And because he patiently executed the austerity, all knowledge was revealed to him. So we also must be very patient in this progress of devotional service. Otherwise we are not in parampara. All our acharyas exhibited great patience in executing devotional service. But unfortunately sometimes we want everything instant. In Singapore, you know, the disease is instant. When clients come to me to file a case, they don't want it to be filed now. They want it to be filed yesterday. That is how fast they want it. If they can do it yesterday, they will do it. But everything, we are used to instant me. We are used to instant everything. But what we don't realize that in devotional service, nothing is instant. Because for so many millions of years, we have been anything but devotees of the Lord. So how to become immediately devotees of the Lord? The way is to follow Brahmaji, to take up the parampara and hear exactly what he heard and what he has given. And to be in the business of being devotees of the Lord. This is the first point that we should understand. And because Brahmaji prayed, at the end of his prayers for creative energy, in the third canto, chapter 10, if you read verses 7, 8 and 9, you find that Brahmaji, after long penance and transcendental knowledge, that had the effect of giving Brahmaji self-realization and maturity of devotional service. And because it gave him maturity of devotional service, Brahmaji immediately was given practical knowledge on how to create. So then what did he do? There was so much winds around him, Bhagavatam says. And with the wind he could not create, because every time he created, the winds would push away the creation. So Bhagavatam said immediately he drank the winds. All the winds that were around him, he drank them up. We may think, how is it possible to be drinking wind? But then that's the reason why we are not Brahma. Right? So we should stop just there. The next step now, Brahmaji drank all the winds. And when he drank the winds completely, he also drank all the waters. And he lowered the level of the waters, and then immediately he started creating all the different elements of material creation. How did he get this knowledge? He got it because of parampara. He got it because he was 10% fixed in transcendental devotional service to Krishna. So we also, know, sometimes we think how to apply this transcendental knowledge which seems so far away from our work, from our assignments. You don't have to worry. If you are in parampara, if you are really following sadhana nicely, Krishna from his heart will reveal to you how to perform your material activities so expertly that there is always time for you to perform nice sadhana and be engaged in spiritual life. If your material life is upside down, then please don't blame anyone else except your own spiritual life. When we are in parampara, everything becomes perfect. This implies, Prabhu said, Mataji, that you and I can be sitting here as devotees, but we can still not be in parampara. It is possible. Why? Because we may be aspiring to be devotees, but if in our hearts we are not really following 10% of Bhagavatam, then dhoti, tila, kurta, everything looks nice externally, but internally the heart and the mind is still restless because we are not 10% with Krishna. So the sincere devotional service of these great devotees like Shukadeva Goswami and Brahmaji are the way to go forward. Brahmaji, after taking this knowledge from Krishna, he then explained without deviation to Narada. This is the second point that we must remember. One is the glory of who Brahma is. Second is the point of Brahmaji's uniqueness in parampara. Third is the point that the source of parampara is coming from Krishna. Fourth is, if we want to be in parampara, then all transcendental knowledge transforms into practical knowledge for us to continue with this existence. Fifth, Brahmaji then explained this knowledge that he got and assimilated in his heart. He then explained it without deviation. He did not say to Narada, look Narada, I received X, Y, Z from Krishna, but you know something? Krishna forgot ABC. So now I'm going to give you added, you know, to what he has given. I may want to explain to you a bit more. This is my realization. Our realization is no realization. Better if we just understand what Brahmaji said, what Prabhupada has said, and repeat. Whatever realization we are getting is actually the mercy of their hard work in bringing parampara to us. Realization is just practically applying transcendental knowledge into our daily life. That's why each person has his own realization. But never should we think our realization is adding on to the parampara. If we think that way, we are in serious trouble in devotional service. Why? Because there is no devotional service. There is only speculation. There is only manogatan. And when there is manogatan, we cannot become sthita-pragnis. We cannot become transcendentally situated. We may become materially very famous. We may become great orators. You know, it's very easy for people to become great public speakers. They can take this, they can take that, they can put everything together as one masala and give it to you. Right? And the audience, very often when you go for such speeches, what happens? Audience become highly, highly impressed. They come back by saying, what a lofty idea he was giving. When you ask them, what was the idea? He says, it is so lofty that I don't understand. So what is the point of that loft? You know, if it cannot keep us walking on the ground. So it may sound very nice. A Sunday evening, we all dress up very nicely, we go for a speech. Oh, Prabhu, it was very nice, very high flown, very subtle, very beautiful. So what was the point of it? It was so deep that you and I cannot understand at this point. So then why sit down there? Why here? It should be able to be ready for us to use tomorrow, after program, when we go home. This is Vedic knowledge. And this can only happen when we are, without deviation, repeating what Brahma has said to Vyasa Narada, Narada said to Vyasa, Vyasa said to Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami then said to Parikshit Maharaj, and today, by Prabhupada's mercy, we are hearing everything through the pages of Bhagavatam. This is parampara. So no mental concoction should be there. Always remember what Daksha said in 6.4.29 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anything we forget, but this verse we should never forget. He prays very nicely. This is Daksha, mind you. In 4th canto, you remember Daksha behaved terribly to Lord Shiva. And the result of that terrible activity was a goat's head. Right? We should be very careful to remember what happens when we offend Vaishnavas. Immediately goat's head is on our head. Guru Maharaj says, you may look like you have human head, but actually, factually, you already have a goat head. This is the result of disobeying and offending Vaishnavas. So that same Daksha repented in the fourth canto, and that is why in sixth canto he chants very nice prayers known as Hamsabhuya prayers. And in 6:29 he chants to Krishna, Yadya Niruktam Vachasa Nirupitam Diyakshavirva Manasotayasya Mabhut Swarupam Gunarupam Hitatat Savai Gunapaya Visharga Lakshanaha. This verse is very important because this tells us directly what is not in parampara and what is the opposite of the transcendental knowledge which is described in the purport. Daksha says, anything that you express by the material vibrations, that means your tongue, anything we speak with our tongue, which is material, anything that you acetate with your material intelligence, anything that you experience with your material senses, anything which is concocted by the material mind, right? It actually is ma bhut swarupa guna rupa hi tatta. Ma means no, na means no, but ma means stronger no. So he says anything of this material activity has nothing to do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It has nothing to do. That's why Prabhu said, Mataji, is when you get distressed, actually that distress has nothing to do with your devotional service. It is purely concoction. Why? Because that distress is a result of your mind. Mind is material. Material, how can material mind give you pleasure and happiness and peace when nature of material nature is to give you distress, distress and more distress? How to refute that logic? How to refute it? When the mind tells you are in the doldrums, when you are depressed and when you are sad, how to believe the mind? When the mind itself, nature of mind is to give you distress, then how can you say that you are now the mind when actually your life in devotional service is supposed to make you happy? It is a contradiction because mind has nothing to do with Krishna, with the real nature of Krishna, Daksha says. Because Krishna is beyond the creation of the material world. That's why Brahmaji linked himself to Krishna. That is why he is known as Dhrita Harihi, because he has held on lotus feet of Krishna very tightly. And because of that, I think it is in 2nd canto, 6th chapter, very nicely it is said, Na Bharati me Anga Visho Upalakshate. It is said nicely there that is why whatever words that Brahmaji speaks, they never grow false. Even if they look false, they will become true. The same went for Bhishmadev also. You remember Bhishmadev in his prayers, in Bhishmadev's prayers, he says that wonderful part where he took a vow that somehow or another Krishna has to take up weapons. And Krishna had taken a vow not to take weapons. And amidst all that, Arjuna was in the center because Bhishmadev had taken a vow that today Arjuna must die. So Bhishmadev, at the point when he was so powerful that he was going to actually injure Arjuna, Lord decided, I better come down, pick up the wheel of the chariot and rush towards Bhishmadev. By doing so, the Lord broke his promise. He upheld Bhishmadev's promise, right? At the expense of his own promise, and he protected Arjuna. Perfect end to a very difficult situation. Now, what is the point of that? The point of that is that because Bhishmadev was connected to Krishna, because he was 10% with Krishna, therefore whatever that he was going to speak on was never to be untrue. These acharyas who come in perfect parampara, whatever they speak is true. All we have to do is repeat what they have spoken and then leave the results to Krishna. If he wants, he will change the lives of everyone. If he doesn't want, then the time will come for them to become Krishna conscious. We are at ease. We are peaceful to concentrate on our devotional service, which is already a struggle in itself. So this is how Brahmaji gave this knowledge to Narada. No mental speculation. And Narada gave to Vyasa Bhagavan. Prabhupada has given us everything, Prabhu's Matajis. Prabhupada is the last word for us in parampara. And because he has given everything in the form of his teachings, Prabhupada, in the form of his wonderful disciples who are now our spiritual masters, and because they are speaking 10% on what Prabhupada spoke, as devotees, we are firmly sheltered by this parampara. Please be grateful to Krishna for this, that he has given us this parampara as an umbrella to shelter us from the speculation. And whatever Prabhupada has given is so precious that really there is no need for us to expand, no need for us to subtract, multiply or divide. Whatever Prabhupada gave us is sufficient. Sufficient to bring us back to Krishna. Why to add on? And one other point we must remember. Devotional service is unconditional. It is not dependent on any condition to be executed. We should not wait for Sunday to become devotees. We should not wait for Saturday Kirtan to become fired up. Monday to Friday, we are given full facility to remember Krishna through Parampara, through Bhagavatam, through Bhagavad Gita. All we have to do is read Prabhupada and immediately we are in contact with Parampara. Why to read any other literature? Right? As the second verse of the first canto, first chapter very nicely tells us, what need is there for any other scripture to come to self-realization? Unfortunately, our minds are always so restless. We want to do something before we do Bhagavatam reading. We say, Bhagavad Gita is a bit later, let's do something else. There is no need to do anything else because the basic of the basic is Bhagavad Gita. What else can be more basic than Bhagavad Gita? Nothing else can be basic than Bhagavad Gita. So how long are we going to wait? How long are we going to go here and there before we finally come to rest with Srila Prabhupada? This point we must remember. We should not think now, Prabhu, until these things happen, then I am going to come in Parampara. Until then I am out of Parampara. That cannot work. It cannot work. So it is a disease actually when we think, now I am going to give you deeper knowledge. The deep knowledge that Prabhupada gave is more than sufficient. More than sufficient. And if at all some more knowledge is given through the pages of Bhagavatam, it will be revealed to us by Prabhupada, through the agencies of our spiritual master, through these three pillars of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So this Parampara principle protects us. If there is something wrong, please go to Sadhu. Who are Sadhus? Sadhus are all the Vaishnavas here. Everyone is a Sadhu here. We should not think, I'm looking for this man in beard and he's somewhere, some Babaji sitting in Vrindavan. What is wrong with our Singapore devotees? Nothing is wrong. Sometimes devotees come up to me and say, Prabhuji, we need to get some devotee to come here to give us some explanation on transcendental science. And I ask them, you mean there are no devotees in Singapore qualified to give you transcendental science? No initiated devotees? No Pakka devotees here? This is disease. That something must come from outside to come in here, and foreign is always better than local. Why should it be? We go to India and suddenly we become VIPs. Somebody comes from anywhere else, he's VIP. But in our congregation, nobody is VIP. Why? Because every day we see you, Prabhu. What can you be giving that is more? No. Every devotee is sadhu. Every devotee is sadhu. It's whether you want to see the sadhu in him or you want to see anything else that you want to see. One time, one devotee asked my Guru Maharaj in Alachua. He said, 20 years I'm in ISKCON. And I tell you, there's so much nonsense in ISKCON, I can't take it. How have you survived so long, Maharaj? So Maharaj said, how come you're still in ISKCON and sitting for my class? If it's so bad, why are you sitting here, man? Please leave. He said, no, somehow I'm staying. Maharaj said, then you answered the question. That somehow or another we know that despite whatever that may be happening, still there is nowhere else to hear about Krishna as relishable as in the association of Sadhu Sangha. That's it. So that is Sadhu. Second, Guru is the spiritual master. Spiritual master will teach us from within and without how to come to Sadhu Sangha and how to take advantage of Shastras. So whenever you have difficulty in making up your mind about something in devotional service, very simple. Make sure these three are correct, in line. Then we are in Parampara. Read Bhagavatam. Ask sadhus about Bhagavatam and consult spiritual master. But please don't go to these three parties in the mood of examining. Is the sadhu on the right track? Is the guru on the right track? Is Shastra on the right track? It's the opposite. Huh? Are you on the right track? It's not, I'm checking on him. Is he on the right track? Is he on the right track? Please don't do that. We are not here. Some devotees also have this habit, we call it the comparing syndrome. They will go to one Prabhu and ask him one question. He has given very nice answer. Then they will go to another Mataji and ask the same question. Then they will take that answer and come to the Prabhu and say, Prabhu, why is it that someone has said something else different from you? And he becomes thinking, what is happening now? Please don't engage in this. This is Manogatan within devotional service. You ask 20 people the same question, but you don't act on the answer. What is the point? What is the point? We are definitely not in parampara if that happens. So this thing should be stopped. And we should become serious about studying very nicely. So Prabhupada has given us everything. That is why in the purport, Prabhupada says that the difference between theoretical knowledge and transcendental knowledge is something that devotees should always remember. Material knowledge is irrelevant. Irrelevant because at the end of the day, simply put, it will not save you from the clutches of death. That's all. If any material knowledge can save you from birth, death, old age, disease, please inform me and inform all the rest of the devotees, because we will label it then as transcendental knowledge. But it is not, and you will never find a material knowledge that can help us there. It just can't. Why? Because any material knowledge which is given by the philosopher outside is imperfect. Because the philosopher himself is going to die. He took birth. He's definitely going to grow old, and daily he's sick. So how can his knowledge be eternal? But look at Bhagavad Gita, Prabhu Sri Mataji, 700 verses. Look at Bhagavatam, 18,000. How many verses is Bhagavatam? 18,000 verses. Just think, 18,000 verses in Bhagavatam, 700 verses written, spoken millions of years ago, actually, through parampara, millions of years ago. And can you identify with it today when you go to work? Can you identify all the principles that Brahmaji did in his creation? Of course, we're not drinking water and swallowing wind, no doubt. But how he has applied the transcendental knowledge is still relevant today. Still relevant today. And we are in the IT age. And in those days, nobody knew what IT was. But whatever knowledge that is coming from IT age will never be relevant 20 years, 30 years down the road. Nothing. Your computers that you had 10 years ago have become dinosaurs or fossils now. Isn't it? And they will continue to become. This next batch, this next generation of computers will become fossilized in the next 20 years or so. So what does that show us? Material knowledge, we should not depend. Never depend on material knowledge. Therefore, never depend on material senses. Therefore, never depend on material mind. What should we depend on? We should depend on Bhagavatam. Whatever Bhagavatam says in the purport, that is the pure devotee speaking, whatever Krishna and devotees are speaking in the translation, that is the knowledge that will save us from birth and death. So whenever you want to find solutions, very simple. Tell everyone to please stop, let us read Bhagavatam. Whatever page you open, that page Bhagavatam will give you solution to life. It is a trick of Bhagavatam, you know. Because every page, right, is non-different from Krishna. So whatever page you turn to is extremely relevant immediately to you. This is Bhagavatam. So this is the way we should take up. The foolish men who are known as materialists, I think it is in 2nd canto, Prabhu, 7th chapter, 3rd verse. We were just discussing that because Guru Maharaj was speaking to Govardhan Prabhu yesterday and he pointed out this 273. In the purport to 273, Prabhupada very nicely says, and what he's saying is how parampara is actually solving the problem of material knowledge. He says, Prabhupada says there, anti-Vedic, how nice the word is. He says anti-Vedic potency. Is it antiseptic? He says the antiseptic potency of devotional service. This is power of Vedic knowledge. Vedic knowledge is antiseptic. Antiseptic means you will never get materially infected. If you take up Bhagavatam, the antiseptic potency of devotional service to the Lord is so great, the purport says, that it can neutralize the material infection that we are feeling now, even in the present life. This line of Prabhupada we should remember. The antiseptic potency of the devotional service to Lord is so great that it can neutralize the material infection even in this life. And Prabhupada ends by saying that a devotee does not need to wait for the next life to attain liberation. He does not need to wait. It can happen now. Why? Because we are in parampara. This point we should not forget. And only when we are in Parampara, 10% with Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sadhu Sangha, Guru, Seva and Shastric knowledge, then only this devotional service is antiseptic. If we mix this devotional service with material motives and material thinking, material speculation, then this mixed devotional service may have some effect, no doubt. It is still purifying us. But it will always, we'll be wondering why as devotees we are still in agitation, why still in difficulty. It is because we have not come to the point of coming fully under parampara. So the working of parampara, now we should understand. The working of parampara is given only in two verses in the whole of Bhagavatam. And by just remembering these two verses, we can know how parampara works, how it shelters us. The two verses are 1.4.32 and 1.5.8. These two verses we should remember. Jiva Goswami in his commentaries and many acharyas have highlighted these two verses to tell us the value of following parampara knowledge. In the first verse, Vyas Bhagavan became despondent in the first canto, fourth chapter. You remember? He was so despondent, despite having put together all Vedic knowledge, still he was down and out. Can you imagine? We are not having Vedic knowledge, but already we are dissatisfied with life. Vyas Bhagavan, with all the Vedic knowledge, he was still dissatisfied. So what hope do we have? So at that point, in first canto, fourth chapter, this question is put forward. Vyas Bhagavan was thinking, why? Why am I dissatisfied? Why my heart is not resting? Why am I not in peace? And then, from in his heart, because he was sincerely inquiring, from in his heart, the suggestion from Super Soul has come. And what is that Super Soul's dictation to his heart? The voice of conscience, the voice of Paramatma. That was very nicely stated by Vyas Bhagavan as Kimba. Kim means why? Kimba Bhagavata Dharma. So he is asking the question. Na prayena nirupitaha priyaha paramahamsanam ka eva hiyachutta priyaha. This verse is important. He says, this may be, now he is following his heart, maybe it is because I did not specifically point out the glories, no, I did not specifically point out the devotional service of the Lord, which is dear to both the perfect beings and to the infallible Lord. This is the reason for dissatisfaction in our heart, because we are not 100% with Krishna. We are not disseminating the knowledge and receiving the knowledge without deviation. We take knowledge from Prabhupada, we twist and turn it to suit what we want. When that happens, we become dissatisfied. When the devotional service is not there, we become dissatisfied. And when we feel dissatisfied, that is Krishna working from within as Paramatma. So, Vyas Bhagavan felt that dissatisfaction. Now he did not know whether it was correct or not. Then immediately after he felt that, immediately Narada Muni came. Narada Muni was his spiritual master, so to speak, in the disciplic succession. So immediately he turned to Narada Muni and he inquired from him the source of his dissatisfaction. And even before he inquired from that, Narada Muni could understand as a true spiritual master, Vyas Bhagavan, you are feeling dissatisfied. Why? Why are you feeling dissatisfied? And then he chanted 1.5.8. He said, Bhavadhanudita prayam yasho yasho bhagavato prayam yene vais yenai vashau natushyeta manyeta darshanam makilam. This is the verse that is very important, because there he says that somehow or another, right, Nada says, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. And that's exactly what Prabhupada is saying in the second paragraph of today's purport. He is highlighting to us that transcendental knowledge is actually science, because there are no theories. In material knowledge, we say we are studying science, but actually it is not science. What we are studying is theory. Nothing has been factually proven. Now they are making a big hoo-ha whether the moon has water, no water. Tomorrow they will say mineral water we can get from there. So many things they will say. But Prabhupada is very clear. Never did anyone go to the moon. Right? They probably were in Arizona and made a nice, you know, show of it just to make sure that they would be up on par with the cosmonauts from Russia who earlier claimed that they also had gone to space. So one Manogatan is feeding another Manogatan. And whether or not there is water in the moon, how is it going to help our chanting? How will water in the moon help our chanting? Nothing, isn't it? So theories and material knowledge have nothing to do with Krishna. Why waste our time? While thinking whether there's water, no water, we will die. And if we die without remembering Krishna, he'll make us walk, you know, the Yamadutas will make us walk on that terrible burning path. There is definitely no water. No water. Scorching heat, no water. Right? So instead of thinking of moon, water, better we concentrate on the dissatisfaction that is in our heart and the way to remedy it. The way to remedy it is to broadcast the transcendental glories of Krishna. Are we doing that as devotees? If we are 10% without deviation, we are in parampara. There is no dissatisfaction in our heart. So this is how the Lord spoke within the heart to Krishna, to Vyasa Bhagavan. He gave him this niggling doubt. I have a problem with my devotional service. And then immediately the Lord sent spiritual master in parampara to confirm, yes, yes, you are right. This is the problem, Vyasa Bhagavan. Of course, Vyasa Bhagavan actually doesn't have a problem. He's Krishna himself. But they are both showing us the way to accept this knowledge. That when Guru comes, when Sadhus come, immediately we submit. Vyasa Bhagavan could have told Narada Muni, excuse me, I don't have to get your confirmation on my dissatisfaction. Look at my portfolio and my, you know, resume. You know, it's quite a high flown one, you know, and I'm non different from Krishna in case you forgot. Literally incarnation, don't forget. He could have done all that, but he did not do that. He fell immediately in parampara and said, Narada Muni, you tell me. And Narada Muni repeated what Brahmaji told him in 2nd Canto, 9th chapter. That's what he told. Brahmaji spoke Chatushloka. Right? Brahmaji heard and he spoke Chatushloka. And that's how Narada Muni is just explaining the same thing I heard from my father, and I'm explaining to you what is the cause of your dissatisfaction. So immediately he accepted. If we accept that whenever there is niggling doubt in our heart, something is wrong. Paramatma is speaking about devotional service. Please hear it. And if you're sincere in parampara, Krishna will send sadhu, he will send sangha, he will send guru, he will send sastras, and everything becomes very nice. Very nice. That is parampara. So Vedic knowledge is antiseptic. Material knowledge is very, very septic. Very, very, very septic. It is material infection. But Vedic knowledge is transcendental knowledge. And transcendental knowledge has only one impact. You just remember 2, 3, 12 of Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the nice verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is very nicely stated. Jnanam yada pratinivritta gunomi chakram Atma prasada utayatra guneshu sangha Kaivilya sammata patas ata bhakti yoga Ko nirvrito harikata suratinna kurya 2, 3, 12 of Bhagavatam. This tells us exactly what Vedic knowledge is. We are speaking on Vedic knowledge, but it is important to understand what is the quality of Vedic knowledge. And here, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining. Transcendental knowledge is actually in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari. That is the first qualification of Vedic knowledge. And then, it is a knowledge that will result in the complete suspension of the waves and the whirlpools of material nature. So your material knowledge is only going to result in waves in your mind and whirlpools in your heart. The result is disturbance. But Vedic knowledge can cut that disturbance, Prabhu said, Mataji. It can cut it. It can suspend it. This knowledge is all satisfying. It is self-satisfying. Why? Because we don't need anything once we take up bhakti. Isn't it true that if we had any other, supposing you had wedding function, and you wanted to have wedding function, and I told you now that the only available wedding function venue is Veerama Kaliamman Temple Hall. How many of you would turn up for the wedding? Given, you know, the current status of the hall. But we are sitting here for the last 10 years in Veerama Kaliamman Temple. we don't see anything. We don't think about all the paraphernalia around us. We don't think about the occasional cockroaches who run. We don't think about the fact that the rats have been sleeping on the mat that you are sitting on now, and we have not cleaned the mat, mind you. So in all this, nobody is bothered about rats, cockroaches, or the smell of onion or garlic. Nobody is concerned. Right? When you are chanting and seeing Krishna, I hope you are not looking down when the Panditji or, you know, Iyer is taking tosai or the tree. Because we are self-satisfied with the knowledge that is coming from the darshan of Jagannath. Why would we want to see anything else except Jagannath? I hope. If we are alright, then we are in parampara. If we are not, that is the cause of disturbance. Whom to blame? You want to look at Italy and all that, whom to blame? This is the reason why we are shouting and shouting daily that we have to read Bhagavatam seriously. And this is self-satisfaction. It comes, Prabhu said Mataji's, through parampara. No deviation. Simplify your existence in devotional service. When we have a basic traditional mridanga beat, why to change it? There is no need to change it. When we have nice kalpa, Jetvaita Maharaj is perfect for this. I don't know whether you remember, we had kirtan with him in Ram temple, and he started singing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra exactly the way Prabhupada was singing. And we were very enthusiastic because at some point we thought he's going to speed up the kirtan. And every time we started speeding up, he gave us, if you look at Jetvaita Maharaj giving us a glare, it's very transcendently scary. He's very strict. And when he looked at us like that, everyone started moving back. That was the only kirtan where mridanga players were behind. Nobody wanted to stand in front of him. But for 1 hour, he just chanted Prabhupada chanting the way it was. No change, nothing, just that way. And it was completely self-satisfying. This is not to say that when sannyasis chant them in different tunes, it is wrong. But it goes to show one thing, that as long as we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with sincerity, according to time, place and circumstances, expertly preaching, without deviation, we are safe. We are safe. This is the point we should remember. When in doubt, always go back to Bhagavad Gita. Please don't go anywhere else. Don't read any other book to make you qualified to read Bhagavatam. Please don't do that. That book will disqualify you from reading Bhagavatam. If you want to be qualified, read Bhagavatam and become qualified. That is the way to become qualified. That is parampara. So the conclusion is very nice in this verse. The conclusion in the last line, the last paragraph, Shukadeva Goswami begged for the mercy of Krishna. Such an exalted devotee of the Lord, but he begged for the mercy of the Lord. Why did he beg for the mercy of the Lord? If you look at the whole chapter now, Prabhus and Matajis, at the beginning, Parikshit Maharaj only asked Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami only one question. And that question was, please now, you explain to me the different divisions of material creation and all the details of this wonderful creation. Please do that. And then suddenly, for the next few verses till the end of this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami has gone out of point. Right? If this was a material essay, out of point. But in transcendental world, completely in point. Why was he completely in point? Before he started explaining whatever query that Parikshit Maharaj had, he did one thing. He glorified the Lord first. By glorifying Krishna with choice prayers, he was seeking to become Nimitta Matra Bhavya Sabhya Sachi. He was aiming to become a humble instrument in the hands of Krishna and the parampara above him. Prabhupada said that he prayed to his spiritual master, right? His father, Vyas Bhagwan. And Vyas Bhagwan would have prayed to Naradaji. And Naradaji would have sought shelter of Brahmaji. And we all know Brahmaji is Veda Garbha because he sought shelter of Supreme Lord Krishna before he could actually perform his creation. So that parampara is perfect. Perfect. It is absolutely perfect. And why the perfection continues? It will continue in our life if we always remember at every junction of our life that we must seek the blessings and mercy of Krishna and his devotees. As Vaishnavas, we always seek blessings from each other. Prabhuji, I am going for yatra, please bless me. This is etiquette. Roji, I am thinking of doing these activities. What do you think? Consulting senior Vaishnavas, senior by devotional service, senior by age even, right? Just simply seeing an elderly Vaishnava, we come to know how glorious he must be. Because at that age he is continuing to practice Krishna consciousness, he definitely knows more than us. Much more than us. By having this mood and consulting and always asking for directions, combined with Sadhu and Shastra and Guru, we will never miss the point. Never. Shukadev Goswami showed us that this is the way to start the chapter. Despite all his knowledge, he started by just glorifying Krishna. How to glorify Krishna, Prabhu said, Mataji, if we don't know anything about Krishna to glorify? That is why we must read. That's why we must remember our prayers. That's why it is very important to learn shlokas. Not because we want to become pandits, but because the shlokas will help us at the points of our calamities, at the points of our reversals. It will help us to preach. Someone hears, Prabhupada always says, if you were to say something, please back it up with a verse. Prabhupada is very particular about that. We must have our stock of verses, not just to preach to others, but more importantly to us. To us. That is important. Sometimes we say, I can't learn these verses, it is very difficult. But Krishna is the one who is giving us intelligence. When we think, I must use my intelligence to remember the verse, you will never remember the verse. If you pray very hard to Krishna, please let me remember the verse to glorify you, there is no reason why Krishna will not allow you to learn the verse. But learning the verse doesn't mean, I read now, aham sarvasya prabhavo, then I go and watch TV, come back, mata sarvam pravachate, and then do something else. No, it means dedicated study. Everyone should have notebooks, and in the notebooks there should be pages after pages of your study. There should be so many notebooks, there's no place for anything else in your house. My Guru Maharaj, every diary that you have of the past year, every year he'll ask me, ask everyone, whichever diary 2008, 2007, 1996, 97 that is in your house, you just bring it to me. What does he do? He fills them up with shlokas, purports. If you call Maharaj on the phone and say, Maharaj, I read this verse 214, it's very nice. He'll say, hold on. He will go and take Bhagavatam, then he will take his notebook, he will say, let me write the verse down. And as you read the verse and he reads the verse, he writes it down. And after writing for the whole week, he studies that verse. And then he puts you to shame because he has read the verse so many times, but you very loftily introduce him to the verse. But actually we did no introduction. The point is, we after learning or studying or speaking, we never practice the verse. What is the point? You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj gave this nice example. He said that one time, there was this man in a village. He didn't know so much English, but he only knew three words. He knew yes, he knew no, and he knew very good. Very good. So he thought, you know, that he knew these three words enough. All knowledge is revealed to him. Right? So he knew English. If anyone asks, do you know English? Yes, I know English. What do you know? Yes, no, very good. This is English for him. So one day somehow, he was framed up for stealing some precious goods, you know, from the village. So somehow or another, he had to come before the judge. And the judge was there. So in order to impress the judge, this foolish fellow, right, said that when the judge asked him the question very simply, did you actually steal these goods? He could have answered in his mother tongue. At that time, it was probably in some Bengali village. So he should have answered in Bengali. But no, he thought, you know, sometimes, you know, if you speak English, you know, to a judge, he may think, oh, this fellow is a bit high, you know, a bit high-fi. So therefore, you know, it will be a bit better, you know, I should look up at him differently. This is how we think, you know, that, you know, we look down on our Vedic tradition and we always think, you know, anything that is outside from the West is very good, very good. We don't realize the fallacy of it. So, the judge asked him, did you commit the crime? So he thought, I'll use the first English word I know. So he said, yes. So judge thought, he's admitting now. So he said, were there anyone else who was helping you? So he thought, I've used yes, he doesn't seem so impressed. Let me use the second word. Then he asked again, did anyone help you? He said, no, because that's the only second word he knew. Then the judge thought, this is funny fellow, he's admitting readily. So then he asked him the final question, do you know that you'll have to be in jail for a long time? Are you ready for it? He said, very good. This is the problem sometimes in trying to glorify Krishna with choice shlokas. Don't learn them to become pandit. Don't learn them to become pandit. And at the same time, this example is also used for material knowledge. sometimes we learn so many things from material knowledge, but we just know a little bit here and there, and we all know a little knowledge is very, very dangerous, and we make a mess and a fool out of our existence. So this point also we should remember. And finally, we should not forget that very important verse, you know, that tells us about parampara in 10.1.4 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nivreta tarshe upagiyamana bhavau shvada chotra mano dhirana ka uttama shloka gunanuvada umandire cheta vinapa sukna. And in this verse, very nicely, to sum up the point on parampara, Shukadeva Goswami informs Parikshit Maharaj again. He says, glorification of Krishna must be done in parampara. It must be done in parampara, disciplic discussion. It cannot be done whimsically. Oh Prabhu, I feel like saying this to Krishna, and I will just say it to him. You may say with your heart, you know, your pain, your difficulties, but the moment you learn and follow the steps of the acharyas to repeat their prayers, that is true sign of humility. True sign of humility. So then, glorification of Krishna is done in parampara. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. That is why the importance of taking shelter of spiritual master is always there in Srimad Bhagavatam. That if we really want to commit to spiritual life, it is one thing to say, I accept you in my heart as spiritual master. It's another thing to sit there and make a commitment to change the value of our life, to please the spiritual master and ultimately to please Krishna. If you really love Krishna, to put it very bluntly, then you must change the quality of your life. Otherwise, where is the value of your love? In the same way, if we want to become serious in devotional service, eventually it is a natural progression that we finally fix ourselves at the lotus feet of one devotee in parampara and follow his directions towards Krishna. That is the way. If Vyas Bhagwan could accept Narada Muni as his spiritual master, then in what position are we not to accept this concept? There is no position why we should not be there. But we should not push this point. Spiritual master comes through the suggestion of the Lord when he sees the sincerity of the disciple. Don't have to put gun to the head. Prabhu, how many years in this gone? 10 years, no spiritual initiation, you're gone. Prabhu, 1 year already, you need to get initiation now. Come on, there's a whole line of gurus, go shopping, get guru and come back. This is not Walmart, this is not, you know, supermarket and you see fair price. You are not in any bargaining position. We are only at the mercy of the Lord. Don't forget that point. And finally he says that this wonderful knowledge, this glorification of Krishna is the only medicine, bhavau aushadam, it is the only medicine in this world to relieve the hearts of all living entities. Who can resist this? Who can fail to be attracted to this transcendental knowledge? And who can fail to follow this wonderful parampara unless you are a butcher? Or you are the killer of your own self. In other words, you want to commit spiritual suicide. Then you will not be fixed with Srimad Bhagavatam. So please, we should remember one point, that whenever we come to Krishna, always remember, don't take up the material knowledge and think of it as eternal. Take up the transcendental knowledge and be assured that it is relevant to your life. Always remember that parampara means without deviation. All our problems, all our dissatisfaction only come when we have moved away from Guru, from Sadhu and Sastra. There is no other reason than this reason. Don't even have to ask again another devotee, Prabhu, why am I in difficulty? Please don't ask, because the reason is there. Instead ask, Prabhu, I'm in difficulty, I know what's the problem, I need more association, I need to read, let us sit down and do more programs. That is a more constructive way of approaching a problem in spiritual life. That is a much more instructive way. And finally, the glorification of Lord is eternal service. It is eternal service. Everything else is not eternal. We will not carry anything with us. That's why Prabhupada said, what did he say? He said, books are the basis. Right? Books are the basis of our life. These Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they are the start of our link to parampara. Don't miss any discussion on Bhagavatam. Please. and study seriously. Today, go home, buy a notebook, Prabhu said, Mataji, buy a notebook and sit down. One notebook for Bhagavatam, one notebook for Bhagavad Gita. Daily read one verse of Bhagavad Gita. In the purport, take out what is the prayer, what is Prabhupada translating. Any line that you find relevant to your life, write it down. As you write, you will remember. Any verse that comes out and really touches your heart, write down that verse and study the verse. Morning, study Bhagavatam with one notebook. Evening, study Bhagavad Gita with one notebook. How long does it take? 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. All we have to do is release 15 minutes of our material existence to spiritual life. Can we not afford that release? That should be the way a congregation must grow. That must be the way that we must become decent receptacles for paramparic knowledge. There is no other way. That's why books are the basis. And then purity is the force, right? Purity is the force. If we don't become pure receptacles, how can we preach effectively? Sometimes you say, I'm preaching, but nobody is taking up any knowledge. Why? Because we are not preaching to ourselves first. We are not changing our lives. Then how to change other people's lives? That's why the last line said that Shukadeva Goswami assimilated that knowledge. Brahmaji assimilated that knowledge. That's why he could actually relate it to us. Isn't there a difference when a speaker just speaks because of knowledge and a speaker speaks because it comes from his heart? The devotees and the audience, they become touched and they try to change their lives. That is the realm of experience. So purity is the force. Books are the basis. Then what? Utility is the principle. Right? Utility is the principle. Whatever that we have in our life, use it for Krishna. That's all. And finally, preaching is the essence. If all these three are there, then whatever we preach will become essential in the lives of others. If all these three are not there, our preaching has no value. No value. There will be too many holes. Whatever water goes in, comes out. There is no value to that preaching. Today it is opposite. I think last time Srila Krishna Prabhu, you were saying, today it's all the opposite. This is antiseptic knowledge. Septic knowledge is checkbooks have become the basis. Isn't it? In material world, not books are the basis. Checkbooks are the basis. And instead of purity becoming the force, they say majority is the force. Isn't it? Now everything is majority. If everybody decides not to become Krishna conscious, then that is correct. If you are the one person who is Krishna conscious, you are wrong. This is majority. Instead of utility being the principle, now what is it that has become the principle? Prabhu, do you remember? Utility is the principle. Now I think facility is the principle. Yeah, now facility has become the principle. We are not concerned about how we have to sacrifice our time for Krishna. We are now concerned about how we can facilitate Krishna into our lives. That is facility. And finally, preaching is no more the essence. Instead of preaching, cheating has become the essence. Because everyone is trying to cheat the other. And what is cheating? Cheating means we don't put Krishna willing in our sentences. That is all. Forget about any other kind of cheating. The first cheating starts with Krishna willing is not there. If I say now, Prabhuji, I am going to give you Bhagavatam class today. And if I don't put Krishna willing, I am cheating you. Because I don't know that I can only speak Bhagavatam if Krishna wills. And that is the starting point of my cheating tendency to everyone here. To everyone here. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Jai Shla Prabhupada ki. Jai Shla Gurudev ki. Jai Gaurabhen. Prabhus, Matajis, we have maybe 5 minutes. Are there any nice questions, comments, realizations that you would like to hear? That would be nice. Yamuna Prabhu, please.
Yamuna Prabhu was supposed to give class. We will hear from him very soon. Very soon.
Prabhuji, thank you for the very wonderful and insightful class. Actually, you are telling about when you take the... We have to offer prayers, or when you come in front of deities, or you are in a mood of prayerful attitude. So you have to not display your emotions and pains, but rather you should take the shelter of how acharyas or the previous devotees, pure devotees, they prayed to the Lord. And if you have that verse and kind of emotions that they displayed before the Lord, that will be better than, rather than, you know, praying our own way. So I had this previous notion. So most of the times when I used to pray, I used to, you know, solely take the shelter of, you know, some shlokas of our previous acharyas. But you know, down the line, so many years I've seen that it doesn't really help, because if you pray, suppose you have, you know, you come in front of the deities and you say that Andasame Vivek Mahajanasya, you know, Chaur Balivir Indiyadi. That's a very meaningful prayer, or a kind of appeal to the Lord. But the context might be totally different. So every time, you know, if you are under the shadow of some ready-made prayers of the acharyas, you know, your genuine emotions and your sincere emotions doesn't come out. So how do you relate to this fact?
Very nice.
Prabhu's question is very, very relevant and very nice. How, if we want to pray, supposing we are in a difficult situation, and it's a difficulty maybe with our job, are we going to look through the cantos of Bhagavatam to find, this prayer is related to the job, and therefore we should chant it? It is very difficult for us to do that. What is meant by glorifying Krishna with prayers of the acharyas is that the mind, Prabhu, is material. So are the emotions that we get. When we are in difficulty, please remember devotees who are in difficulty. Like Gajendra, for example. Gajendra was in so much difficulty. And for 1,000 years, he was trying to tackle his difficulty with every means except Krishna. So, despite all his tackling of the difficulties, he could not come out of that clutches. Prabhu is right. The context very often of the acharya's prayers and our emotions may be different. But please remember one thing. While the context may be different, the miseries are the same. They just take different forms. In different forms, in different names, and in different results, they do the same thing. They only agitate the mind. Finally, each one of our misery is the same as the other. They come out in a different form, but ultimately the effect is the same. So because the effect is the same, our acharyas have told us that there is nothing wrong to feelingly pray to Krishna. Prabhu, you are right. If supposing I am in a precarious situation in my job, at that point of time, who am I to pray to except Krishna? Isn't it? If I should not have this idea, when in difficulty, in material world, pray to demigods. When in bhakti, pray to Krishna. That is foolish. At all times, 2, 3, 10 is very clear in Bhagavatam, that in all times, in all situations, we turn to Krishna because we have no one else but Krishna. So in our heart, heartfelt emotions are there when we are in difficulty, and we should turn to Krishna. We should present before Krishna very nicely, right, our difficulty. In fact, you don't even have to present, because Krishna knows your difficulty. But just to make you psychologically feel better, I have to say it to somebody. So at least let me say it to Krishna. You speak your mind and your heart to Krishna, lovingly. And the moment you have done that, then please sit with Bhagavatam after that, and please chant the prayers of Bhagavatam. By chanting the prayers of Bhagavatam, after putting your heartfelt emotions to Krishna, this Bhagavatam, right, it has the effect of materially, of spiritually disinfecting whatever dirt that is within us, which is actually the cause of our material sufferings. So in that way, Prabhu, the prayers of the devotees, nicely put with the sincere feelings of the devotees, hand in hand, will very nicely help us become situated in parampara and take shelter of Krishna through the pages of Bhagavatam. I give you one example. You remember Gajendra, isn't it? I'm reminded of Gajendra. How much difficulty he had, 1,000 years. And at the end of his difficulty, he remembered finally, what's the point? This is the will of the Lord. I'm in the providence, I'm in the network of providence. Right? He says, Idam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam. I am in danger now. And this Sankatam is affecting Pranasya Deha. It is affecting my pran. It's affecting my Dehi. But you know what? My wife cannot do anything about it. Right? They are all leaving now. My children, they are helpless. All my great generals cannot pull me out. They are all fed up with me in the end. Who shall I turn to? I shall turn to that one person alone who is the shelter of all shelters. So, heartfeltly, Prabhu, he put forward his feelings. He put forward his feeling, said, what can I do? I'm in difficulty. He's speaking his heart already. And then once he remembers that he must now turn to Krishna, then he started. He said, evam vyavasito buddhya samadaya manohidi jajapa paramam japyam rajyamani anukshitam. This is in the first verse, Rajendra's prayers, right? His prayers of surrender. And just hear the translation. It's perfect. The translation is, therefore, Gajendra fixed his mind in his heart. What an amazing thing. Think about it. Take 2 steps back and think about it. Gajendra fixed his mind in his heart with perfect intelligence. With perfect intelligence. And chanted a mantra which he had learned from his previous birth as Indrayumna, and which he remembered by the grace of Krishna. This verse, Prabhu, gives the answer actually. It does. Bhagavatam has the answer to everything. And why does this give the answer? Because one, it tells us, when we are in difficulty, fix our mind. First we seek the difficulty as Rajendra did. But don't take 1,000 years to do so now. Because we don't have that much time. Time is of the essence for us. Tomorrow we don't know whether we're going to be here. After Virama Kaliman Temple, who is going to knock off from here, we don't know. I mean permanently. We don't know. So because of that, the ninth example is Gajendra told us, fix your mind, which is material, mental, where all the emotions come and we can become bewildered. Fix it into the heart. Because heart is resting place of Krishna. That is where your heart felt pain is there, Prabhu. Fix it there. And when you fix it there, use your intelligence to then chant the mantra that you have learned. And all mantras you have learned have come from your previous life. You are chanting Hare Krishna mantra because of all your previous nice wonderful acts. 3, 33, 6 or 7. Aho Vataswa Pachato Gariyan. That verse explains this point. So already there is a stock of prayers in our hearts. Bhagavatam tells us Gajendra learned that mantra in his previous life. But you know what? That wonderful remembrance of the Lord, through the mercy of the Lord, Lord gave him that chance. In difficulty, I will give you intelligence to remember mantra. But he didn't remember the mantra because he never learnt it. He remembered it because some granatascha swachestitam, some endeavor was there. So you have endeavored hard, Prabhu, to learn the verses. You have endeavored hard to actually chant them before Krishna. You are humble today that you are saying that it is not having an impact. But the real impact of that verse to help you in your difficulty is that today you are sitting down and you are a devotee and an exalted disciple of your spiritual master. That is the proof that mantras work. That is the proof that mantras work. Otherwise, you'll be on the street now. You are proof of your question. Really, you're proof of the answer of the question. Is that alright, Prabhuji? Thank you, Prabhuji. Mataji?
My question is in relation to the
Yes.
Since we have chanted for so many years, I firmly believe that any person in life is grant to be But if you have to explain the same fact to somebody that is not much into bed, the person is having a problem and you say that, you pray to Krishna, you pray to God, He will take care. People normally say, you know, that what God has to do with the problem. How can you drag God into the material life? It's a different language.
This is a good point. Sometimes we approach people, you know, and we help them sincerely, but because they have this idea that, you know, my problem is problem, what has God got to do with the problem? The answer is actually simple. Because you have not got involved in your problem, that's why it's a problem. If God was involved in your problem, so to speak, if God became center of your life, then there'll be no problem. But they cannot see this yet, Mataji, and very often we can't see it also. So the best way is, we become pure. We must strive to be the best devotees we can be. We must become the best receptacles of our Guru and our Acharyas. And if they want, by their mercy, if we pray for their mercy to become useful instruments, then if they want, this person or person whom we speak to, they may be touched in their heart. And if they are not, don't worry. They have already chanted the name of Krishna once when you spoke to them. They have got the idea that Krishna can help. The seed is sown. One day, at the right appropriate time, it will grow. And when it grows, Krishna will definitely relieve them of their difficulties. It is only a question of time. Only time. So we should not worry too much there. Instead, we should concentrate on our bhakti. Whenever we are unable to impact on someone, the defect is ours. In that mood, we become closer to parampara. We become closer. It is not their fault, it is not Krishna's, it is just ours. Because we are in the center, we are not effectively being transparent by medium. You know, our glass is still opaque or translucent, but it is not transparent. In that mood, a Vaishnava takes up devotional service, Krishna gives him the chance to impact on others, if he wants. Is that okay, Mati? Excellent. So we should stop here now. My sincere prayers to all the devotees is, please don't make Bhagavatam a weekend part of your life. Make Bhagavatam an integral part of your life. Our sincere prayer to Krishna is not to have a building, not to have, you know, nice programs, nice festivals. Our sincere prayer is that let us just be fixed up in our sadhana and nice Bhagavatam and nice Bhagavad Gita and sweet sadhu sangha so that we can glorify Krishna. If everyone can go back home and take a notebook and start writing the way you would write if you were studying, then Krishna will see your effort and he will say, this person will, I will give him some injection of transcendental knowledge, and this injection is the best injection you'll ever get. It's not painful like material injection. It's very sweet. It's very, very sweet. Please don't miss this point. In fact, to end off, we are now having Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita programs in many different parts of Singapore. And we urge devotees to come together in pockets over the weekdays to discuss Bhagavatam. Right? Now, for example, on Wednesdays in the Yunos and Bedok area, there's one program, Bhagavatam, on Wednesdays. On Mondays or Tuesdays or Thursdays, there are programs Mondays or Tuesdays at Nityanand Prabhu's house or Gopal's restaurant. We have Bhagavad Gita that's been running for almost 2-3 years now. Now, on Fridays, we have programs at Tanjung Rhu and Marine Parade area. Right? That's the Kirtaniya Sadahari program. And on Thursdays, Milind Prabhu at Normanton Park, in that area, he has started a fortnightly program for Bhagavad Gita discussion where devotees can come together and chant and understand and discuss all the basics and most important parts of Bhagavad Gita. If you are sincere and you want to do this, please come forward. We need a discussion group in Yishun. So many devotees are in Yishun. If we have a discussion group in Yishun running, how nice it will be. Or in Woodlands, these two can be around that area. Horizon Towers is another area. You can also have some nice discussions there. Sengkang, the base is there. Devotees are fired up. And anyone else in Sengkang can come together also. Tampines, Prabhu is there. Like that, don't hesitate. Only do one thing. Make sure the discussion is bona fide. Right? We don't just start something at the top of our head and do whatever we want and say we are all acharyas. Please consult the senior devotees. At least a senior devotee should be there to lead the discussions. And if you can't get one senior devotee to commit, no problems. Roster them. In Singapore, everything is roster, right? We'll roster this also. No problems. But devotees are ready to do this. We have to grow. This is the way to grow as a congregation. Weekend programs are very wonderful. But after weekend program, what are we going to do? Monday to Friday. It should be full. Now, tomorrow we are all going to sing in Lakshmanan Temple from 7:30 to 8:15. That is for Vijayadashami. Right? So, if you want to use that time on Monday, please come. How many devotees are coming tomorrow? Very nice. This is good. That will fill up the stage. That should be the way. Right? So this is how we make every day filled with Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Let us end by having nice kirtan for Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and pray that Dabodhar month is coming, that instead of counting how many programs we have, we should just count in our hearts how much of emphasis we are putting to devotional service. Jai Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki!
Jai!
Itai Gaura Premanande! Jai Srila Prabhupada ki!
Jai!